Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Hi everybody.
Hello, everyone.
My name is David Bell.
I am Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Three Colors Red.
Red.
The super French movie.
Allez-vous-en.
Well, trois couleurs rouge.
Well, all right.
I think.
Sure.
Probably fucked that right up.
Yeah,
just
that's
fucked
fine.
That to pieces.
This
to
movie did
smithereens. I fucked it.
You fucked it. Shattered it.
Yeah.
You fucked it to splinters. This movie did make me want to learn French. It is I know it's a cliche, but it is a very beautiful language.
Yeah.
It's a good language. People talk good. I think it's like the best language.
Maybe. I don't know.
What would you? Okay. What would
solid,
you think?
It's
is
a
the
solid
best
pick.
Language?
It's a strong pick for best language. I don't know. This isn't a thing that I feel like devoting any thought to.
Like if aliens came and we were like, we need to do one language to talk to them. What would you pick?
I don't know. You know, Dothraki.
Okay. Yeah.
Dothraki.
Klingon.
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 Maybe some Klingon.
Yeah.
Klingon. You would try Klingon first, obviously, because maybe they speak it. They are aliens.
That's true. That's true.
You
know. Guys, this is a this is Thursday, so this is a We Just Watch Classic. This is brought to you by our Patreon subscriber, Martin. Martin has selected a lot of the real artsy movies we've been watching. Another Earth, Tierra, or Earth.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Earth stuff.
Yeah, a lot of Earth-related things.
So he gave us a choice between this and another movie, and the other movie wasn't available. So we watched this.
You're getting too obscure, Martin.
Yeah.
Too obscure.
But I don't hate it. I don't hate it. The other one was, let's see if I remember what it's called. I think it's called Show Me Love. It was like a teen lesbian drama, so that would have been fun.
Sure. No, I'm interested.
Yeah. Tom, what did you think of Three Colors Red?
Three Colors Red. This is a pretty sweet movie.
Yeah, I really liked it.
I did text you like when the movie had like most of the way through the movie and was like, is this the lake house? Is this the fucking lake house?
I was just writing in my notes, oh my god, is this time travel?
is this the lake house?
It's not. It's not the lake house, but it's almost the lake house. Spoilers.
Not exactly. It's not precisely time travel.
No, it's I would argue it's better than that.
Yeah.
This is a film from 1994. It's part of a trilogy, the Three Colors trilogy, where some real French guy made three movies that are themed. They have three distinct themes, matching colors. They're not linked. It's not like the Lord of the Rings. I
gotta correct you. He's Polish, not French.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. They were made. Two were made in France. And one was Polish. That's it. They have each one. Let's see. What was it? The three colors, I believe they. Oh, yeah, that's it. They
white, blue, and red.
Yeah, they represent the colors of the French flag, apparently.
Sure.
And each film is loosely based on a political ideal in the motto of the French Republic, which is liberty, equality, and fraternity. So, I don't know. I guess this is one of them. It's good as a standalone film. There's only a few nods to the trilogy that you have to sort of look up to get.
But if you don't get them, like I didn't going in, I just read about it later. I was like, oh, that's neat. It doesn't affect
exactly.
The movie. You can watch it totally.
It does make me.
I believe this one is fraternity.
Okay, that makes sense. It does make me really want to watch the others because this was a really good movie. Should we go through it?
I think you know, we can. It's honestly. It's like a short story. The plot itself is not that long.
Yeah, it's basically about a model who poses for a chewing gum campaign, Her name is Valentine. Yes. She's the actress is very good. And she's she has a boyfriend that she talks to over the phone who's a bit controlling.
Who's a real piece of shit.
He just becomes more and more of a dickhead. And while driving back to her apartment, she accidentally runs over a dog. The dog is fine. Mm-hmm. I know this because the dog's a terrible actor. No offense to the dog, but
I don't know where the dog studied, but some real amateur hour. This is some real local theater bullshit.
Dog really hams it up. It's cute. It's a cute dog. It's when she hits it, it's like just on its back with its belly in the air, and it just looks like it wants belly rubs. But they've clearly taught it to look sad while it does it, and they sprinkle some blood on it. A lot of shitty dog owners in this movie.
Yeah, it's not great.
Yeah, but it all works out in the end for the dog. So that's anybody who's worried about that. All the dogs come out all right. They just get a little sad and a little hit by cars. So she brings the dog back to the, like, I assume she reads the address.
She reads an address off the dog's collar, takes it to the house. Nobody responds when she rings. She walks right the fuck in the house. I don't know if this is a French thing or what.
I'm going to assume it's a French thing.
She just walks right the Christ in, and there's this old guy just sitting at a table in front of a stereo, and he's real disinterested. Yep. He's like, oh, yeah, my dog did kind of vanish a few days ago. She's like, well, it's like hit. Do you want me to take it to the vet? He's like, yeah, whatever you want.
Yeah. And she's like, fucking.
He does not care.
Yeah, she's sort of like, all right, you fucker. She takes the dog to the vet. And then is this when we introduce the other two characters?
No, we actually meet the guy first.
Right. I loved how they would shoot it, because basically she has a neighbor that we start following who's going to school to be a judge.
He's across the plaza from her. It starts in his apartment, and he's kind of like in a first floor apartment. This movie shifts between highs and lows a lot. Like, it shifts perspectives, and I don't know if it's necessarily a power thing or if it's just meant to be like, this is how separate they are and this is how separate they're supposed
to be. It does a lot of great camera work. It's almost Guy Ritchie-esque at times when the it ramps up the speed for certain parts.
In the beginning with the phone call.
The phone call, it starts tracking a call through the wires from, I think, London to Geneva.
Across the English Channel, this movie was nominated for an Oscar for cinematography.
Yeah, as it should have. It is well shot. I love the shot where this is sort of related, where the boyfriend, where her car alarm goes off, and the neighbor looks out the window, and he's looking at the car, but then his vision, like a woman comes into the shot and starts waving, so his vision is more of that, but then when Valentine sort of walks in the background to shut off her car, so it's like it's the car, then the woman that he knows, and then like you just sort of see Valentine there. And it's a lot of they're sort of in each other's lives, but not really.
Yeah, they're constantly swirling around each other, like being at the same places, doing the same things, but they never notice each other. So
she goes back to the house after bringing the dog to the vet, and she walks in, and his name is Joseph.
Joseph Kern. Joseph Kern, I think.
He's a retired judge, and she learns that he's awesome. She learns that he's awesome.
he's pretty fucking sweet. He just sits there all goddamn day long, eavesdropping. He has basically a wiretapping thing, sort of. He's just eavesdropping on people's phone calls.
Oh, wait, I want to note that, she brings I really like this. She brought the dog to the park, and the dog does kind of sell it. When the dog's getting bandaged, it's just happy as shit. And you get the impression that it's just a real dummy. And she brings it to the park, and she's like, don't run off. And she lets it go, and it immediately just books it as fast as it can into a church.
Hall's ass.
It books it into a church, and then she chases it into the church, and it runs out, and she chases it back to the old man.
Yeah.
Who is spying on his neighbors and holed up in this weird house like he's fucking H.R. Giger, pouring tea on the floor.
Yeah, he brews a pot of tea and just pours it all on the floor.
He asks her to snap his suspenders because the sound's really cool. He's kind of awesome. Like, he's kind of who I want to be at that age.
At the end of my life, I would love to be just living in a bubble of not giving one single fuck about anything. Right.
And I don't
necessarily need to be spying on my neighbors, but I do want to occupy that firm headspace of I don't give a shit about about a single thing.
I was really worried this movie was going to go all Harold and Maude on us, but it doesn't.
No, it doesn't, and I very much appreciate that.
Yep.
Didn't need that.
But there's a fascination between them. And they have this great scene. That scene lasts for a while, and it's just them talking, and I couldn't keep my eyes off of it.
Yeah.
She's
hearing like a phone call from one neighbor who's like, he's married and has a daughter, but he's secretly either bisexual or gay, and he's talking to his secret male lover. And they meet a couple, like there's a lady who like doesn't want to come visit her mom because her mom just makes up excuses to get her out to the house.
There's a bunch of little stories, and she basically calls him out and is like, this is what you're doing is awful. What I love about the scene is that she's extremely vulnerable. Like, she's extremely open, and he's extremely guarded, and like, you know, he's like a real edgelord. And yet she sort of holds all the power in the scene. Like, he doesn't really get the best of her, because there's nothing you get the best of, because she's very open. And we also learn about her brother in this scene, where she has a brother who's, I believe, addicted to heroin. And his picture showed up in the paper, and she's worried about the parents seeing, because it kind of shows him in that lifestyle.
Yeah, it shows him all junkied out. Look,
There's a part where he says one of his neighbors that he thinks is one of the biggest heroin dealers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she calls him up and says, you deserve to die. And the guy like looks like they're watching him as he gets the call. He looks around and runs into his
which
house.
Is a proper reaction.
I mean, probably, like, but definitely if you're a heroin dealer.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely a heroin dealer, that man.
It's like...
He looked like a heroin dealer.
Like, if you or I got that call, I'd be like, that's fucking
He looked like the bad guy in a Guy Ritchie film. Like, he just had that heroin dealer vibe.
Yeah. He had that vibe,
Like your neighborhood heroin dealer.
Yeah. He had a real Tom Atkins vibe,
sure. And so, she's just completely open about her emotions, and I don't know, it gives her the upper hand, I thought, in the conversation, and it goes on for a while, and it ends with her just revealing that his dog is pregnant, and that actually surprises him, and she tells him she pities him, and she fucks off.
They do a thing where I mentioned that they keep shifting when people are not on the same level, and people are rarely on the same level. And in this scene, they do that, where she's frequently taller than him in frame. There's a few moments where...
Yeah, she's framed as having the leverage in the conversation.
For most of it, there's one or two parts where she crouches down lower than
him. Right.
Even though he's shorter than her, and then he also spends most of the time sitting down. So, like, when she's listening, when they're listening to... They wind up listening to a phone call between the guy that she's neighbors with and... the woman he's seeing, and she feels so embarrassed and shameful about eavesdropping that she covers her ears. And in that scene, she's lower than him because he's like kind of terrorizing her a little bit with that phone call.
Right. He has no shame.
Yeah. No, he doesn't. Not at first.
Not at first. And so.
Yeah, not at first.
She goes home and she goes bowling, right? With the photographer of the.
Yeah, who tried to give her some smooches, and she rebuffed his advances.
And meanwhile, we see the neighbor who is also taking his August. Is that his name? I think so.
August. Yes. August is the,
and Karen is the girlfriend.
She keeps running into.
And he passes his exam, to become a judge. Which is like the old man, also a judge or an ex-judge. Mm-hmm. And he gets a fountain pen as a gift, I believe.
Yes.
From his girlfriend. Uh-huh. And then we find out that meanwhile, Kern, the old man, guilted by Valentine, writes to his neighbors and fucking confesses that he's spying on all of them. And
he writes to him in pencil, though, because the pen he's had for years doesn't work.
Yes. Yes.
And here's where we start to get some of that.
That's
lake
where
house
it starts getting a little Lake House-y. And he goes to court in like, it felt like he got that handled in like a day.
A day. Yeah. He goes to court and August is his judge. Yeah.
Right.
He does. August is one of the judges on his case, and it's like clearly August's first case. Like he's putting on his
robes. I think
and
it's implied that it's been like a week. Because maybe, there could be a time lapse there. They just don't.
Right. They never. It's not. They don't like linger on.
Right. So Valentine reads the paper to find out that he got in trouble. Goes to his house and tells him that like I wasn't a snitch, because I would tell this guy that, because he is scary.
Right. Like I would definitely run to this guy's house and say I didn't drop.
Please
no
don't
dimes.
Pour hot tea on me like in layer cake. And he's like, no, I know, I confessed. And she's like, why? And he's like, because you told me, you know, that it was wrong. And so I confessed. And then he reveals that his dog had puppies, and they bond over that. Yeah. And they have more talks. They talk for a while. He talks about, what does he talk about? That they have a good, they drink pear brandy to celebrate the puppies, which I thought was very French.
Yeah, that's a super, and these tiny fucking super glasses, French. Although I guess that's how you drink brandy.
He asked her to smile, which, bro, come on, not cool, bro. Mm-hmm. He told a story, that was it, about acquitting a guy who he realized was guilty later and how he regretted it. And the guy ended up having a family. And it.
The guy, wound up living a full and happy, fulfilling life. And she was like, well, that's, don't you see? That's like a good thing you did. You actually saved that man.
Right. And he doesn't see it that way. But it's a profound idea that like his one decision led to the birth of people. You know, he has a lot of responsibility. He's the neighbors are throwing stones through his window because they know he's spying on them.
Right. He just keeps. So he's saving them on his piano.
Like a little reminder of his guilt. And she asks him like if he's bothered, and he's like, no, I would do the same thing if I was in their position. And he says something that's pretty progressive. He says like all the people I've judged and sent to jail, they're no different than me. I would have done the exact same thing if I were them, if I lived their lives. So he's a very woke judge.
And he does have a line somewhere in there where he's like, I wonder how many other people I might have acquitted instead of finding guilty.
Yeah. And again, this is it's just a series of conversations like this.
Pretty much. This movie reminded me a lot of The Lives of Others crossed with like Sad Amelie.
Sad Amelie is a good one.
Sad Depressing Amelie and The Lives of Others.
Yeah, because the next thing I remember is August, after his graduation, he can't hear from his girlfriend.
Right, he can't get a hold of her. He climbs up the outside
as a
of her
boyfriend
house and
will
sees
do.
That she's... That's right. As a boyfriend who just became a judge.
Sometimes you got a Spider-Man. Yeah.
Sometimes you got to crawl up a lattice like a lunatic. Yeah. I don't know. She's banging another guy. She's moved
on. Yeah, she's super banging this guy, and he's really bummed. I think he confronts them at a restaurant. He's a real little shit about it. He confronts them and then runs away, and then she runs out to find him, and he's like hiding, and she's like, August, and it's like, come on, man. I mean, I get it. He's humiliated, as is described later. He feels and he does what is almost the most dickish. I'm glad they took it back. He pulls real dickhead move. This whole time he has a dog, which I think is like their dog. And he
I think that's the
implication. He abandons it on the side of the road like a real asshole. Mm-hmm. We later see that he went back and got it.
Yes.
And this is, I saw this, they did this in Mad Men as well. Because I get it, is the idea is that, you know, this is the last thing reminding him of this relationship, and he just has to get rid of it. But it's a real dramatic emo thing to do, to abandon a dog for that reason. But it does reflect that both of these characters, August and Kern, don't really give a shit about dogs.
No, dogs occupy this really, whatever. They're like furniture to these guys.
Yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, the dogs cannot be happier throughout the whole film, for the most part.
Yeah, the dogs, it's as if the dogs don't even know they're in a movie.
It is. It is like that.
Really can't come down hard enough on the just lack of professionalism from these dogs.
Right, and that's, I think that's why it's like, when you have a scene where someone abandons a dog in a movie, it's sad, but you know that dog's fine. The one we're watching is just like, this is, I get treats after this. So this dog's fine.
This is all good.
So, not August. Valentine has a fashion show. She invites Kern.
She invites Kern to
And he
to
takes
it.
His little man car that he clearly hasn't used in 20 years.
Yeah, it's like all dusty and shit.
And he goes and he watches, and she doesn't even realize. And then they meet up afterwards in the theater, and he describes to her, or she calls him out. She says, a woman betrayed you. And they reflect the thing where, like, I forget what the exact line is, when he says your brother's a heroin addict, and she's like, how would you know such a thing? And he says something like, it's obvious.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious. It wasn't hard to guess.
And she does throws the same thing back at him, like, we were betrayed by a woman. I mean, he is a bitter old man. And he's like, how would you know such a thing? And he's like, it's not hard to guess. And he tells a story about when he became a judge. He was in love with a woman who betrayed him for another man, and he went to the same theater that we were at, that was another thing, and dropped one of his books and studied the chapter where the book opened, and that was a crucial part of the test.
Yeah, that's a thing we see August do earlier, is he drops his book in the intersection, and it's open to a specific page, and he studies it, and then later on, the woman he's dating asks him, what's the question on the test? He's like, it was.
Yeah.
And Kern describes the exact same thing. So basically, Kern has had an almost identical life.
And then he foreshadows something. He says when they broke up, he followed her across the English Channel, but she died in an accident. Mm-hmm. And later, he was assigned to judge a case where the defendant was the man who stooped his girlfriend.
Yeah, the guy who she ran off with.
Oh, God.
And he found him guilty.
Now that brings up all sorts of questions, Tom. Because basically, what happens is he described this guy that we've been watching at the same time, the neighbor.
Yes.
He also asks her if she's taking the ferry because she's going somewhere, right? She's going to see her boyfriend.
He encourages her to take the ferry.
Right. So she takes the ferry to see her. She's leaving. She's going to see her boyfriend, her shitty boyfriend. She takes the ferry, and we see that she's taking the same ferry as this guy, August.
As August, yeah.
And then we see on the news, Kern's watching the news, that the ferry
capsized.
And everybody but 7 people died.
Yep.
And he watches as the people get off the boat in the news. And, of course, one of them is Valentine. And the other is August, and for the first time, they see each other getting off.
Yes.
And what's really great is the news, which is, the news in France, like, I don't know if this is,
they all went to film school.
Yeah, they keep doing these zoom-ins and freeze frames on each one and saying who they are.
Yeah.
But it freeze frames on her, and the shot exactly matches the gum ad she did at the beginning. Which is great.
Yes. Yeah.
And then it ends on Kern looking out the window and crying, which I guess is a theme of all of these movies. They all end up with someone looking out a window or crying.
But he's happy.
Yeah, it's happy cries.
It's happy crying.
Smiling. I just realized, it's super Lake House. There's this weird...
Right, because he tells her he had a dream of her when she's older, like 50-something, and she rolls over in the dream. She wakes up from some dream, rolls over and looks at somebody in her bed and smiles, and then he can't quite see who the person is.
He's like an alternate version who didn't meet her or something like that.
Yes, yeah. So there's a couple of...
Because I just realized when he says he judged a man and that man was guilty, that man slept with... Man, no, it doesn't work. I was trying to think of some like Terminator time loop where he's judging himself for the spying. Because like you said, like the judge is August.
Yeah, what he judges the guy for is he says he built like a shoddy open market collapsed in a rainstorm.
So it is different.
It's different, but it is still the rainstorm.
Right, because there's a rainstorm happening when he tells that story.
Yeah, and it's the powerful storm that capsizes the boat.
Right, right. It's not.
There's like a powerful storm that's like raging outside the theater, and like there's a there's some kind of connection there, because the woman that August is seeing is running this like weather service, like where you can call her number and she'll tell you what the forecast
is. That was some
is.
Real hipster shit. That was some real Amelie shit.
That was some real Amelie shit for even, which is wild. This is 1994. Right. And we see in the scene when August is climbing up on the side of the building, like he walks past that room, and you can see that she's not been doing the weather service for days because she's just been totally into this guy. And you can see there's like a hurricane on her weather forecast. And when before Valentine leaves on the ferry, but I think it's after Kern has convinced her to go, he calls the number, the forecast number, and asks the lady what the forecast is. And she said, oh, it's great. It's going to be nothing but clear skies. And I'm going to go yachting through the channel. It's going to be great. And it's like, oh, so you're not doing the service anymore. She's like, no, I'm going to have to close it. He's like, oh, that's too bad. So it's like it seems like, and I may be reading this wrong, but it seems like her infatuation caused her to miss that.
Right.
The fact that there was a hurricane.
I don't know. Yeah. Also, all the survivors, by the way, at the end are the characters from the other trilogy. I should point that out. But yeah, it's...
Mind blown.
This movie isn't supposed to be taken literally.
No, I don't think so. It's more about
Oh, sorry.
It's more about the bonds that exist between people, even though like social strata is designed as such that you don't see them.
Right. Oh, for sure. That ties in why the listening to other people's calls. This voyeuristic thing where he's hearing these dramas unfold all around him from people who don't really know each other.
Yeah.
And then the neighbor, of course, having, this exact same life as this man who is somewhat tied to this woman. Like, I don't know. It's fun to try to figure out a Terminator plot to this, though.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't. Yeah, it's hard to figure out like an exact Terminator plot, but it's their lives are very, very similar. So it could be like, oh, this is kind of him in an alternate timeline.
Or he's like an angelic type character too. Like the idea is that he's now I'm wondering.
Well, I mean, he's literally a judge, and he forgave someone, and life was created.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm wondering if he's seen by any other character in this movie.
Oh, yeah. No, he goes to court.
That's true. Yeah, we show him going into court. Yeah, that's true.
They're throwing rocks through his window.
Again, it's not... Nothing is supposed to be taken literally. It's just... it's one of those movies that I want to watch a few times to figure out...
Yeah, there's some shit going on.
There's a lot
on
of shit here. Going on.
There's some goddamn shit going
it's
on.
It's very here. Good. I'm trying to think of what else. Anything we missed. Again, the dogs are great. The puppies are great. Oh, that's the other part of it, is she wants one of the puppies. So I was like, is the puppy its own mom? Are we going to get a fucking time loop here?
Maybe.
Where it's sort of, again, it's...
They do show that when they're showing all the survivors of the capsized ferry, they show August has survived. He doesn't have that dog with him.
Oh, no.
Oh, I don't think the dog lived. So when they get back to France... She almost certainly is going to get the puppy from Kern.
Right. She's going to get the puppy from Kern. She's going to hook up with August. Yeah. It's implied, at least.
Yeah. Yeah, it's implied.
And then he's going to slowly turn into Kern, and it's going to be like a Back to the Future situation where she's going to be like, hey, what the fuck's going on here?
A better version of Kern.
Yeah, better Kern.
It's like...
And then he's going to build a time machine.
Right, he's going to build a time machine.
And there'll be an explosion. And he'll get thrown to all these different points in time.
And he'll have to build a time train. Uh-huh. And he'll have a strange little boy who wildly fingers himself through his pocket.
Sure. Wait, what?
Have you ever noticed that?
What? That he...
In Back to the Future 3, one of the two kids.
I thought you meant this guy's doing it in this movie. It's like old man
like
diddling.
Just flicking himself. Yep.
Well, you know.
It's weird.
He's a kid.
Yeah, that's true.
He did one of those weird little kid things, and it's forever immortalized in a classic film.
Kid's gonna have to change his name.
I just realized the scene where they're talking in the theater. It's the same camera dynamic, right? She's on the stage. He's in the pit
she's
below.
Very high, and this is because this is when he's finally being vulnerable to her.
Right. Because again, I really like that because. They could have easily made him the dominant person because he's more crass. He's
a little,
like, he's like the elder, like,
it's not even
like she's again very emotional, and I don't want to say naive. That's what's interesting about it, is they could have easily made her more naive.
Yeah, she's not naive. They do go to a great length to show that she is kind and
yeah, she's
moral,
just not a
and
dick.
Has a sense of justice. Yeah, and he's like, I wouldn't call him crass, but he's definitely like kind of nihilistic.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely he's an edgelord. He's a real edgelord.
Yeah, he's real edgy. He's real
edgy. And she's not having it.
Mm-mm. Having any is bullshit. Yeah.
This one,
not having any of that pouring an entire pot of tea on the floor, never explaining why he did
this would be awesome. No, he spills it a little bit. I like this because it informed his character, and then he's trying to be punk rock about it. And he's like, yeah, I'll spill more.
But yeah, he spills it a little bit, and then she declines any tea, so he spills the rest of it on the floor.
Again, he's like a real Dr. House type. He's like trying to be, and again, that's why I like it, is that like, He's trying to freak her out almost, or maybe not, but he's a person that, like, I could see a lot of people just going, I don't have time for this, and leaving.
Mm-hmm.
But she's,
he definitely rejects her worldview as she rejects
his. Exactly.
And I think the one time they meet at the same level is when they briefly touch through the glass.
Wait, when do they touch through the glass?
When he gets into his car after he gives her own bottle of peach brandy or pear brandy.
Right.
There's a lot of glass stuff, too. There's a lot of glass and broken glass
that,
in this.
I think that's a theme in all of these, I believe. Along with the crying, there's... I think the... what was it? The pen had some significance to the rest of it. Oh, that was it. That's what I was reading, is that recycling bottles is a theme in all of these for some reason. Because in this one, there's the old woman who can't reach the container.
Who can't quite get it
I
in
guess
there,
every...
Yeah.
All of these... This whole trilogy has a bottle recycling scene.
It's a weird pin to put in all your projects, but... there's worse through lines.
Why not? And I think what it is that there's also... That was it. Another common thing of the three films is that there was like a common symbol that links the protagonist to their past. So in this case, it's the pen of like this object,
and his has long run out of ink.
Yep.
Or he hadn't used it in so long that it doesn't have any ink left in it. So it's like his vigor,
right? Like his dick.
His dick. His
law
his fat
dick.
Old donger.
His law dick.
His big law donger. he calls it the
gavel.
Why
didn't they call it Law Donger? The movie.
Law Donger. We need to make that movie.
It pretty much writes itself.
I already see acts 1, 2, and 3 clearly in my mind.
I mean, we just remake this movie and call it Law Donger.
I'm ready to put pen to paper right now. I need zero more prep time. Good to go.
Didn't think this movie was going to have a ferry accident. That was surprising.
Yeah, that was pretty shocking.
Yeah,
and it's a whole ass ferry accident.
Yeah, think like thousands of people were gonna die in this movie. I mean, it's all off camera, but it's one of those like, oh wait, what? And they tease you because you think like, oh no, did she die? Is this gonna be? Because I had also read that this is an anti-romance, is what people have called it, which made me think, oh no, is it gonna be sad? But no, it's not sad. It's quite fun. Yeah.
Yeah. It's you know, like I said, it's like sad Amelie.
Sad. Yeah. Well, it's not sad though. It's not like a.
Well, it's Amelie if nobody gets together.
Yeah, but well, they fuck. They fuck after the ferry accident, right? That's the implication.
Well, for sure. Well, that's the implication. But like, it's more about finding the bonds that aren't romantic.
Right. Which again, I was really happy that the old man doesn't go all mod on him, her, on her.
Yeah, that'd be weird. On her.
Because I didn't know, man. I was like, you know, these French.
I mean, it's fucking French. It's from the 90s. I don't know
who the hell knows? It's like, just be cool, bro. Just be cool. Yeah, when he told her to smile, I was like, come on, man. Let's not do this. We all just want to get through this film. Just,
listen, man.
Just be real cool about this.
We're all just trying to get to the end of this fucking thing.
Yeah, but it was, man, I don't know if we're selling it enough because this movie is largely two people talking in a room.
Yeah, like I said, it plays out like a short story. It's barely over 90 minutes.
Yeah, and it there was a
not a lot happens right. in it. It's just
and with some of these films, even when they're funny and entertaining films, I end up looking at my watch. You know, it's the inevitable thing. We watch so many movies. This one, yeah. I assumed it was going to be like that. And then the first time I was like, I wonder how far the movie has gone. It was more than an hour. And I was like, wait, really? I thought like 20 minutes had passed.
No, the first time I looked, it was almost
Yeah,
over.
Because it's captivating. The scenes like, oh, where they're talking, they're such good performers. And the conversations are so good. And like the way they're shooting it is really dynamic. The stuff where he has to change the light bulb. I love that shot. The light bulb bursts on their lamp, and so he takes the one from above them, screws it on the bottom one, and it blows out the shot until he has to put the lampshade on. And she's very uncomfortable because it's right in her face. There's just, I don't know, it's just a really interesting film that's just a series of really captivating conversations. I would compare almost to Coffee and Cigarettes, that movie, because that's a movie where you're like, oh, it's just people talking, but then in that one, it's different. In that one, it's more about who they get, where it's like, oh, you want to see Iggy Pop and Tom Waits have a scene together? Yes, you do. And
well, yeah,
obviously. It's great. And this one, it's also two just very fascinating people who are great actors telling stories and having weird conversations about morality and ethics and love. And it's just, it's very good. Very, very well done. Which I feel like a lot of people listening are probably going to be like, yeah, no shit. Because as we said, this film was nominated for several Academy Awards.
Yeah, three. Best Director, Best Picture.
Best Screenplay, Best Cinematography,
and Best Director.
Yeah, it's got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Everybody liked it.
It's got 100 on Metacritic.
Yeah. It's New York Times selected as one of the best movies ever made. It has all the awards.
Yeah, all the things. All them things.
Yeah, we were talking about this. Like I was also surprised I hadn't seen this movie.
I was surprised I hadn't heard of it. Because this is like 94, 95, I was hella paying attention to movies back then. And so it's like, how did I not hear about a movie that had this many Oscars.
Right. I remember in the video store. I remember the three colors in the video store. Like always thinking like what are those films? But then I grew up and learned they were like foreign and romantic. Mm-hmm. I thought these were romance films. And they're not. Or at least I don't think they are.
I think one of them.
Yeah, one's described as anti-romance, one is described as anti-comedy, which I don't know what that fucking means.
Well,
I assume
I can give
drama?
You a few definitions, but I don't.
I don't know, and I don't know what the third one is. But anti-tragedy. So I guess a happy movie. Mm-hmm. Just call it happy.
Well, yeah, I know one of Blue is about I think Juliette Binoche in the grieving process of having lost her I think husband and daughter in an accident.
Oh, that's hardcore. I don't know. I do wish I'd watched these all in order. I don't think it matters, but I'm definitely going to have to go back to.
Definitely didn't affect my enjoyment of this one. That's for sure.
And this director died right after making this one.
Right. Yeah. Like this.
I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name.
Jesus. Let's see. Let me see here. Christoph Kieslowski. Okay. We'll go with that.
Yeah. There's a lot of Z's.
He said that Three Colors Red was going to be his last film.
And he was right.
And then he fucking died. So, he's no going back.
Jesus
on that
Christ.
One. And he wasn't super old either.
This guy was born in Poland, Warsaw, in 1941.
That's rough.
He had a lot of issues there. Wait. Oh, never mind. I was just reading about him, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's all fine.
Yeah, I mean, I gotta see his other shit. He has a pretty long career. This was just a, I don't know, fantastic film. I guess he did a lot of documentaries, which that's gonna be real bleak. It's gonna be real bleak shit.
Polish documentaries get out of town. It's gonna be just like fruit rotting.
I don't know. But yeah, I'm glad I watched this. I've watched, like, I don't seek out foreign films. I've watched a lot of them, and they're always very good, but I always just fall into them, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Thanks to Martin, who suggested this one. Who made us watch this one.
Yeah, he suggested in
a very
in
aggressive
the way that he
way.
Forced us to watch it. Yeah, aggressive suggestion.
And I recommend people watch it. It's on Amazon. If you like dramas, if you like weird, it's weird. Mm-hmm. It's surreal.
It's not that surreal.
No, I guess it's not that surreal. It's more weird. It's clearly the inspiration to a lot of films you like. That's the other thing. The cinematography, there's these weird moments they do that are really great where he will talk about like something in the other room and the camera will kind of quickly zoom into the other room.
But it's never
overused.
It's never, no, and it's never like surreal or weird to the point where you're like, I don't know what the fuck that means. Like, it's not pretentious.
No. It's very clear. It's still entertaining, like a movie. Like I said, I mean, some people might be bored by it, but like the conversations were fucking entertaining. It kept my interest.
Solid performances. Yeah. The plot is very clear. Like
you're never lost. Mm-hmm. It's very straightforward. Because I just wasn't used to this is I assumed there was more of a relationship between Valentine and August. And I was like, wait, is he the boyfriend? Like I had to stop and like rewind for a second. Because I was like, wait, what's... Mm-hmm. But it's just because that relationship is so unusual for a film that you assume there's more to it.
Yeah. And there just isn't.
I was like, what the fuck was she eating for breakfast? Was that old jam? When she talks about seeing Dead Poets Society, which I was like, hey, Dead Poets Society now.
Yeah. Yeah, solid name drop, Dead Poets Society. Yeah, it was some kind of preserve. I don't know.
It's real French, you guys. I think she was eating yogurt out of like a glass jar, and it's like, that's fucked up, man.
Yeah, don't do that. That's weird. Yeah. It's like baby food. You don't eat baby's food. You're not a baby.
It's pretty delicious. It's got everything you need, though, Tom.
Yeah, but you're not. It's not for you.
It's like the food of the future.
But it's not for you. You're not a baby.
Yeah, but it can be.
Put the same shit in a jar and call it man food, and then it'll fly off the shelves.
Yeah, that's true. It totally will. I'll eat that man food.
Yeah, here's what a man food. There's man. What's in a man food? You know, strained carrots.
Yep. Peas.
Peas.
Real manly stuff. The label's
gummy
black.
Vitamin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rip off the cap. It smells like pine.
Yeah. we got a movie and we got a business. Yeah.
Product line. We're entrepreneurs.
We're doing it.
We're gonna be rich as soon as we stop recording.
Uh-huh. It's true. Yes.
Watch this movie.
Yeah,
watch
this movie.
I don't have anything else to say about it.
This is another one of those movies that, like, it's just really good, and it's probably not something we need to talk about for this long.
No.
But yeah, check it out.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thanks, Martin.
Thanks, Martin. If you want to make us watch movies, you should check out our Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts there, like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac, and a bunch of tiers. We watch movies every Friday with our patrons. Maybe we'll watch the three color films. Thinking probably not. I'd rather watch these just on a nice quiet day
with some tea that I can pour onto the floor in its entirety if I feel like it.
Yeah, he pours like just hot water, but you want to make
just
the whole
hot
tea.
Ass water. I thought for half a second, I thought he was going to get the tea leaves and just drop it on the puddle
and then be like, drink it.
There's your fucking tea.
Yep.
We also have a store, tpublic.com/stores/gamefullyunemployed, where you can get t-shirts and stickers and posters and shit. Get your favorite printed memory of us watching a French film. I don't know.
That was
a weird pitch.
We'll make
nobody's
going to
buy anything
reds.
Based on that sales pitch.
What is Law Donger?
Law Donger.
Let's make a fake poster for that.
Yeah, let's make Law Donger.
Law Donger. I don't know what it would. I don't know what Law Donger would be about. I feel like that should be someone's name. Like a lawyer's name named Law Donger.
Yeah. Like.
I don't know.
Chet Parsons, Law Donger.
So his job is he's a Law Donger.
He's a law donger.
He dongs for the law. Is it like a guy who...
Malcolm Pillsbury.
Law donger.
Law donger.
He dongs around. He dicks people for the law.
Yeah.
It's like when someone really needs a hot donger, he's there.
He's your man.
For the law.
Whatever I said his name was.
Yep.
He's your man.
He's your man. He's got what you need. You need dongers. He's got dongers.
You need dongers.
Yeah.
He'll drop one at your doorstep. let's be done.
All right.